numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM channel 158. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, everybody, producer number 9. So much more than a producer to my left. You didn't do the little wave.
I thought I'd go with a nod today.
Oh. Hey, before anything happens, has Rabakina and Bencic started yet? We have a one tennis match overnight. I'm on Bencic plus 138. I'm sorry, you're stepping on. What did you say? I'm sorry.
In Transylvania?
Oh, no. No, this is in Abu Dhabi. Semifinal there in Abu Dhabi. Bencic, we gave out it
as not started.
Gave out it as a plus 138 favorite for subscribers. Plus 138 dog for subscribers. I'm not sure if it started yet. I'm not sure if you can even bet it yet pre-flop. But I'm on Bencic as a dog here against Rabakina.
I'm seeing it still up. From the sports book time, I'm seeing it starts in 5 minutes. Rabakina minus 150 over at DraftKings. Bencic plus 125.
Okay, so it's kind of at the edge of playable.
Guess what? I'm going to check MGM right now, and then I might bet it.
Okay. On the show today, Super Bowl 59. It's our final Friday, obviously, before the big game. And yes, we got it stacked. Warren Sharp joining us this hour. Does Warren know he's joining us? My God. Warren Sharp's going to join us this hour from sharpfootballanalysis.com. The answer is yes, by the way, Kelly. He will join us, as will Steve Fezzik for Fezzik Fridays. He will join us in volume. Hour number two, Chris Felica as well from Fox Sports. All of their thoughts on Super Bowl 59. Fezzik has a bunch of thoughts, including who he thinks or where he thinks the line will end up. Will it stay exactly how it is? Will it move, you know, significantly? By significantly, I mean, will the favorite flip? Let's not go crazy with significance, right? But we'll see. We'll get Fezzik here, and he's got things to say about all kinds of stuff, including his big jackpot that he hit 2 days ago.
Yeah,
that we talked about yesterday.
Him.
On the show.
Man, Bencic plus 105 at MGM.
Oh, Jesus.
It just ticks down in front of my eyes. Plus 115, plus 110, plus 105. It's like you're moving
did
numbers,
Gil.
Did
I do that? As the great Urkel once said. Okay, before we do any of this, though, and we will do Are We Sure Super Bowl 59 style here coming up. Estamos seguros for those listening in Spanish and also for Rob Moreno so he could understand. This is about the NFL awards. Congratulations to everybody who had Josh Allen as MVP. Josh Allen squeaks by in the closest MVP vote since 2016. So let's review from our standpoint. I had Ashton Jeanty for the Heisman. I had Lamar Jackson for NFL MVP, both at big numbers, big-ish, not the longest, but big-ish numbers, both sizable wins it would have been, and both end up in historically close losses. Ashton Jeanty, the closest Heisman loss since 2009, and then last night, Lamar Jackson, the closest MVP loss since 2016. Do you remember the 2016 one? Matt Ryan edging out Tom Brady.
Wow.
That aged well.
Actually, I barely remember that.
So, the bottom line is this got down to, do we have the MVP tally? Do we have that on the board anyway? Yeah, there we go. We have them person by person here. So look at that. The left column, for those who will have the visuals here, the left column are those that voted for Lamar. This is offensive player of the year.
No, this is both, Gil. Sorry, I grabbed an extra one. So this is what you're seeing at the top, Lamar Jackson voters and Josh Allen voters. Those are the MVP voters. And then next to them is how they also voted, what they voted for offensive player of the year.
All right, you're confusing me now. Here's the story, though. It's a 10-5-3-2-1 scoring system, right? Yeah, you got to put down five on your ballots. And in points, 10 points, 5 points, 3 points, 2 points, 1 point. One point, rather, based on 1 through 5, where you end up voting on them. What this came down to, right? So not only is it the closest vote since 2016, but Allen becomes the first player in 21 seasons to win MVP without being selected first team All-Pro since MVP was handed out since 1957. The only other players to win the award, despite not being a first team All-Pro, were Broncos quarterback John Elway in 1987, when Joe Montana was first team All-Pro. I think Montana and Rice kind of split the vote otherwise in that particular year. And then Titans quarterback Steve McNair, Air McNair, in 2003 when Peyton Manning was first team All-Pro. This is only the third such instance. So it's the same voters for MVP that vote for All-Pro, which is why many thought that Jackson might get this in the end and get his third MVP. But what ends up happening is Jackson, who had 30 of the 50 first team All-Pro votes, while Allen got 30 to 18 when it came to first team all pro, Allen then won the first place votes for MVP 27-23. So here it is. This is what I'm looking for. 27-22-1 for 383 points. Again, 10-5-3 when it comes to the points there for a first place, second place, third place. Lamar 23-26-0-1. That's how close it was. So what was the difference going back to that AP first team vote versus MVP? Allen, basically, it was that nine voters who picked Allen for first team all pro and gave him the nod for that, decided to go with Jackson for offensive player of the year in the awards voting. And so that's and instead vote Allen first for MVP. So that's where it changed. That was the key to all of this. And so, again, congratulations. We had, both of us had Lamar Jackson tickets. The first sign was Polymarket spiked in Allen's favor yesterday. Now, Polymarket won't mean anything unless there's some kind of leak. That was the first thing. The second thing is when we saw the Offensive Player of the Year vote, which, by the way, went to Saquon Barkley. Congratulations to everybody who had Saquon Barkley there. No surprise. When we saw that Jackson got 12 first place votes, that was the other sign. We're like, oh, no. Because the likelihood of many of those not going with him MVP was there, and we just found out that nine of those did not. And then the third sign, I don't know if you all caught this, but they did them in order, right? There's seven awards. Before they got to the final two were Coach of the Year and MVP. And before they got to Coach of the Year, Tracy Wolfson tweeted out, "Congratulations to Josh Allen for winning MVP." And then she quietly took it down about 5 minutes later. And then they gave out Coach of the Year. Congratulations to everybody who had KOC. Kevin O'Connell wins Coach of the Year. By the way, here are the let's run those back, guys. I'm sorry. Offensive Player of the Year. Here were Saquon's sort of landslide win. Lamar was second, by the way. Lamar second in Offensive Player of the Year voting. Here's the Coach of the Year voting that we just alluded to. Kevin O'Connell in what was, I guess, a close race with Dan Campbell. It's pretty darn close. 361 to 283. And then Andy Reid, a distant third.
I'm glad to see Andy Reid got a little love here, though.
Yeah.
It just felt like all season that was not being talked about enough.
Me too. If there was one, and by the way, again, with the Josh Allen thing, I don't know that even can be considered any kind of surprise. We always knew it was going to be close. My thing to the Allen folks was they thought, you're crazy. Allen's going to win. And my whole point the whole time was you're way too overconfident. And that really did come through with the closest vote, you know, since 2016.
Well, if you take away, I mean, Gil, this is where I know we went crazy about rules last year, right? We've talked about this a lot. If you take away quarterback as an option for offensive player of the year, Lamar Jackson's winning MVP last night.
We said that somebody's going to get snubbed from everything. That's what happened. And the whole time we talked about MVP, remember, I always said, it is their right. It is any voter's right. If you want to vote on most valuable player, literally speaking, and say, what would the Bills be without Josh Allen? I said so many times, I'm like, well, they would have won two games. So if you voted it that way, that's how you end up with Josh Allen. But I will say this, Kelly. There had to be some kind of voter fatigue at play as well in this.
Yeah, there is.
Because no one can still answer this question properly, which is, if Josh Allen had the fourth highest passer rating of all time, which Lamar did, if Josh Allen was the first ever with 40-plus touchdown passes and less than five interceptions, 41-4, which Lamar accomplished, if Josh Allen was the first ever with 4,000 yards passing and 800 yards rushing, he ended up with over 900 yards rushing and over 4,100 passing, would Lamar Jackson have even gotten one vote? That's where the incongruence is. That, to me, is what can never be explained off by the Allen people.
Mm-hmm.
But again, Allen gets it. And so the other ones... Comeback Player of the Year, Kelly is not mad. Joe Burrow gets his second Comeback Player of the Year award. So what did we learn?
I'm still mad. There should be way more money in my account. But like, I couldn't bet it that heavily because I can't trust anybody.
Well, Joe Burrow wins it big. J.K. Dobbins. So we didn't really talk enough about Dobbins. He finishes second. As he should have with all of his surgeries, right? Just amazing. Multiple injuries that he's come back for. Darnold ends up third. Damar Hamlin does get a modicum of votes. It wasn't a negligible amount of points. He ends up fourth. So what does this tell us for next year? That voters will actually play by the rules.
They'll play by the rules.
Yes.
And you know what? For as much as we crap on the voters, and we probably can for some of these other ones, Yes. You were asked to follow some golf guidelines. Club. You followed the guidelines. This is what the results should have been. They were correct. Now maybe I feel, here's the problem, Gil. I might feel a little bit more confident in betting this award again, and that terrifies me going forward.
And then, to me, the biggest surprise, because I don't think anything that we've talked about yet was any big surprise. By the way, how did Christian Gonzalez get 69 points?
No, like in two first place votes? What?
Here's my thing. I thought defensive player of the year was the only one that was a mild surprise to me. And by the way, it shouldn't have been a surprise based on the betting odds, because Patrick Surtain was in fact the favorite. But I do feel like Trey Hendrickson folks thought they got robbed a little bit. But what does that tell us for the future? That these voters are simply not willing to vote for a great player on a bad defense. And I think that's the lesson learned there.
So I think it's a little bit of that. The other one I'm wondering is how much
to an extent they're not right.
How much of betting odds it worked their way into voting, right?
Right. Did the betting odds push voters to vote, some voters to vote the way they did?
Because how many times have we said on air and off air, we're like, defensive rookie of the year, defensive player of the year? Like, we don't really know. That's it up in the air. But we were surprised when we kept seeing Patrick Surtain take more and more money, get shorter and shorter.
So MVP came down to two, by the way, and Jaden Daniels, I kept asking, will he be unanimous? I mean, I said, watch, one person will vote for Brock Bowers just to be different.
Yep.
Sam Monson. Remember Sam from PFF?
Really?
He's the guy.
All right.
Remember how he got upset when I dared ask him what his accent was? He was very annoyed with me on primetime action. So two first place votes ends up being the difference for MVP. And our own Adam Schein and Rich Gannon both went Josh Allen. Not to single out anybody. We'll come back. Warren Sharp, Super Bowl 59.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Want to bet smarter? Start with smarter insights. Right now, you can check out articles like Zach Cohen's NBA trade deadline recap. Oh, I want to read that. Matt Devine's exceptional Super Bowl props and Aaron Moore's college baseball season preview. Yes, college baseball, baby. And later today, you can check out Zach Cohen's best NBA props and picks, Adam Burke with his best bets in college hoops, and Steve Mackinnon's NBA analytics report. To get access to all the articles on VSiN.com right now, you can sign up for $59 off an annual subscription with promo code ANG. Just head to VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up today. Skill Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback from everybody. Fezzik decided to come on. Huge Friday show, he says. He will be here next hour. This is from Bob Sacamano. He says, yo, big shout out to Cleve TA. Yes, for the O'Connell pick back in July on a numbers game. Just a sprinkle, but still fun to ride it all season. Also, award show is an awful production. there is that as well. This is from, let's see, this is from, I want to get to the correct spot here, E.H. Bills. E.H. Bills fan. He says, Gil, I hit Daniels Rookie of the Year and McConnell Coach of the Year all from listening to your show on a random day in the summer. Can't wait for next year's edition. Thank you, sir. Yeah, big shout out to Cleve, though, again, for O'Connell, because that he was so adamant about that over the summer, gave us his reasons why, and bang, there you go. John Balducci, the argument, if you remove them from their team, how bad would their team be, is the dumbest argument for all these guys in contention for MVP. The answer for everyone every time is very bad. And I bet Josh doesn't feel right. He says, how about that for a very honest opinion from a Allen guy with an Allen bet?
Yeah.
James, great show with a crack yesterday. I never thought I'd see Washington back in the mix. Can't wait for next season. I was blocked by Bill a few years ago and still not sure why. I'd like to hit a jackpot to tip somebody. Boy, there's so many random thoughts in that one. But thank you. Yeah, the Bill hours are just awesome. Always. Warren knows he's coming on. He just retweeted. Just an update. This is from Kevin Ryan. Gil, oh, happy day. It's that time of year again where we complain and rant and rave about the absurdity and injustices of the NFL Player Awards. Fun times. Yeah, no, I think it's always fun to, because we all had these bets riding all year long. Jason H11, question for Kelly. What was worse, Jason Day's sweatsuit last Sunday or Ricky's camouflage yesterday?
Oh, well, man, great question. I'll go with Jason Day's sweatsuit. I can't get over that look, but
Jason Day.
The camouflage seemed funny for like a day. Like if you just did it for a day.
Russell Ambrose, with a question for Fez later. What's better, Chiefs moneyline -108 or Chiefs -1.5 +106? He's going to tell you to take the Chiefs money line either way because of overtime rules. That's my prediction. But we'll ask him. StatLogic Sports. Jim Miller is the guy you need to talk to. Voted Lamar fourth. Clown, says StatLogic Sports. And I had a bet on Allen. Hedged with Lamar, full transparency. I like the honest Josh Allen voters who are like, whew. Yeah, Jim Miller voting Lamar fourth. Come on, what are we doing?
Then, like, you and I were talking off the air a bit about it with NBA the other day, but that's, you know, this whole conversation still leaves out the greatest quarterback in the game right now in Patrick Mahomes, right?
So he didn't have his best season, though. He's not in
there. I agree.
Yeah, NCI95 Gambler. Thank you, Cleve. Thank you, Gil. Couldn't have done it without you guys. I'm a faithful listener and follower. Whole bunch of Kevin O'Connell folks. Shrek McPhee, what am I missing? Motor City Dan Campbell embarrasses KOC twice with a backup defense. Two of three coordinator finalists, 15 wins in the hardest division, number one seed, and Kevin O'Connell gets it because Darnold is bad, huh? Voter submitted before week 18. That's the only logic.
I mean, it's the this is where the Cleve TA trends come in, right? We've been going over all season long preseason expectations for what teams were, what they needed to do, where they were at heading into this season, and what they finished at. Minnesota, they far exceeded what their expectations were in the preseason.
And finally, Corbin. Good morning, gents. Massive Final Football Friday of the year. Can't wait to hear all the guests and viewpoints, but I just want to personally say thank you to and the whole Numbers Game crew for all the hours you keep us entertained with football talk. Oh, man, that's very nice of you. Appreciate it. Can we just throw up the preseason odds for everybody, for all the winners, what the preseason numbers were? Guys, thank you for this. This is perfect. Josh Allen was plus 650 in the preseason. Saquon was 25-1. Surtain was 100-1. There's your big long shot.
Yeah.
Jaden was 6-1. That's not true. I got him at 7-1. And I think he was even plus 750 for folks. Jared Verse, 10-1. Congratulations to everybody on Jared Verse. We didn't mention that one. Joe Burrow with his second comeback player of the year. He was the shortest of all these at plus 225. And then KOC, Kevin O'Connell, 20-1. Although Cleve got him 28-1. So these are more or less accurate with these
people. These are DraftKings. These are just different shots.
Specific. Yeah. All right. You ready for Are We Sure?
Let's do it.
Estamos seguros?
Are we sure? You know what? I'm going to skip the first couple ones because I feel like we did everything voting right.
Are
we sure the voters got everything right, Gil?
No, we're not sure. We're absolutely not sure. Do I need to do that diatribe again?
No, I don't. So.
Okay.
All right. This did flew under the radar a little bit for me.
Yeah.
Are we sure Eli Manning will get into the Hall of Fame?
Oh, that's the other thing that happened yesterday. He'll absolutely get in the Hall of Fame. I think he gets in the Hall of Fame next year, by the way. I do. But I don't think it's that outrageous that he didn't get in the first class. Antonio Gates, congratulations. Well-deserved. Jared Allen, absolutely well-deserved. Eric Allen, Sterling Sharp. I don't think anybody has a problem with any of those four guys getting elected and maybe even getting elected ahead of Eli Manning, who, let's face it, has a very unique, interesting resume.
Yeah.
Right? Two unbelievable playoff runs, both of which culminated in an unbelievable win over the Patriots, the most famous of which over the undefeated before that game Patriots, right, in 2007. However, Eli Manning was never an MVP, was never even an All-Pro in his entire career. So it's a very strange sort of paradox with Eli Manning. But to answer your question, yes, I'm absolutely sure he gets in, and he deserves to get in, but I don't think it's an outrage he didn't get in the first year.
It's just, so what, this is the smallest class since 2005, with only four people. It just felt like it's a bit of a, like, We made a purpose to leave him out this year.
Maybe
right?
They did. Maybe they did.
People with agendas, man.
I do think that when he finally, you know, whether it's next year or the year after, when he gets elected, when he gets inducted, finally, when he gets on stage and gets inducted in Canton, his speech, because of those great moments, despite the body of work not being the same as, say, let's say somebody else who's up, you know, coming up, the Philip Riverses of the world, let's say, right? Has much more impact in our psyche than that kind of career.
Oh, totally. Yeah, totally.
So,
okay. Here's something I've been hearing a lot these past couple weeks, right? That the Eagles are a big step up in talent from the Buffalo Bills for the Kansas City
Chiefs. We are not sure about that.
Are we sure about that, Gil?
No. No. All right. See, I mean, the Eagles have flaws, too.
Yep.
You know, I mean, absolutely we're not sure about
that. Yeah, I don't know. The Eagles.
Put respect on the Bills' name.
Me and you were both on the Chiefs. I don't want to speak for you. Not like it's a crazy big bet for me, but man, I think this is a little bit of a weaker opponent than the Buffalo Bills.
I don't know if it's weaker, but we're certainly not sure it's a step up.
Yeah.
Phil, by the way, the Rams had the ball with a chance to win 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm.
Not exactly murderer's row of a path to the Super Bowl either.
Are you sure
the Chiefs can slow down Saquon Barkley?
We're not sure, but we're not sure they can't either.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are we sure?
Because they have time to prepare. You never know.
Are we sure everyone, because they seemingly already are, everyone should be running to bet Dallas Goedert props over?
I'm not sure. I know that's the collective. Everyone's like, oh, they're bad against tight ends, so therefore it must be Dallas. That's the breadth of the handicap, right? Chiefs not so good against tight ends. Dallas Goedert, over. I mean, it may work, but we're not sure. No.
All right, this was...
Have you heard of Spagnuolo before? He's pretty good at what he does.
He's pretty good. I thought this was a really interesting conversation we had with Pritch yesterday, both on air and a little bit off air. Are we sure it's not that big of a deal that Jalen Carter's sick right now?
I thought that was an interesting conversation. Yeah. We're not sure because we don't know the full extent, and you just never know. I mean, he is a unbelievable talent, right? And if he is diminished or if somehow his sickness spreads in that locker room, that would be a thing. And by the way, that would be a historical note, right? Like if the Eagles end up losing the Super Bowl by a margin and we find out that there was some kind of thing, we will always remember it that way. Like, yeah, remember the Eagles got sick and that kind of thing. Just like how the Eagles won the Super Bowl the first time with the replay rules from the future. You remember?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I just thought it was interesting that Pritch kind of saying, you know, for us handicapping sports, these team sports, that,
it could be a big deal.
Yeah. That we almost don't make enough of it as handicappers of how this can spread around the locker room. Yep. So
of course, Pritch said that while sick.
He was on this morning and he was fine. Pritch, and he looked great. glad you're healthy, buddy. All right. Are we sure Isaiah Pacheco won't have a big impact on Sunday's results?
No, because the Chiefs, you don't know where it's coming from. It could be anybody.
I like that answer, but I don't think he has a big impact, but I can't
remember. I don't either, because I bet Hunt. Right,
me and you were both on Hunt. Yeah. All right, are we sure Deion Sanders should be spending another year in college?
I'm not sure about that. I mean, he says out loud that, you know, he doesn't want to coach pro football, but I don't believe him. I think that if he got the right opportunity, he would do it. I do feel like he thinks that people will talk badly about him if he had left Colorado right after Shador left. But coaches do that kind of thing all the time. Like, it shouldn't be different for him. So, no, I'm not sure.
Shocked he's not in the NFL. Hired Marshall Faulk today to be his running back coach.
Yes, he did. Is that it?
Yep.
Estamos seguros. Are we sure? Warren Sharp next on Super Bowl 59. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Ever had your deposit blocked by your bank right before a big bet? Ever needed cash at 2 a.m. for another shot at the tables but hit your ATM limit? Edge Boost has your back. Edge Boost, first ever bank account built for bettors. With Edge Boost, all your gambling-related transactions will always be approved. No more headaches. For you high rollers, you can move up to $250,000 a day on your Edge Boost Visa debit card with unlimited withdrawals. This works 24/7 for instant deposits. Never wait for a wire to clear again. It gets better. Every time you deposit into a gambling account, you can earn cashback rewards up to half a percentage point. All this for no usage fees and no minimum balance. It's a bank account, not a credit card, so there's no approval required or credit checks. Finally, Edge Boost has a suite of responsible gambling tools to help you manage your bankroll and make informed decisions. What are you waiting for? Go to edgeboost.bet. That's edgeboost.bet. Use the promo code ANG to start at Tier 2 for faster bank transfers and higher cashback rewards. Sign up for Edge Boost today. How about that? Skill Alexander. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Yay, yo. He said 4 or 5 votes out of a possible 50 ballots away from cashing on Lamar, despite not winning a numbers game, gets credit for underlining the mispricing late in the season. Thank you for that, Yayo, because that's exactly what we're doing, right? We're making bets based on the price itself. And if you fall short just like that, doesn't mean it was a bad bet, even though we fell short at the odds we bet it at.
Give me my stuffed panda from the CLV store, Gil.
where's the CLV store?
Yeah.
Let's go there. John B., my favorite bet for Super Bowl, over 2.5 players to have a pass attempt at 2-1. New York Mets 16. If we're talking outfits, What was OBJ wearing? Oh, I didn't see what Odell Beckham Jr. was wearing. I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, no. Gil and I were out at dinner. We saw a guy wearing a beret, though.
Yeah, so we did. That's a good that's look. Important. It's yeah. a very good look. Yeah. Abe Garcia, been getting heat about Eli not getting in. He'll get in. Never an MVP, no AP, or considered the best quarterback in any season. Only stat he ever led was interceptions. I like Eli, but not first ballot. Next year isn't a lock either. Breeze, Larry Fitz, those that missed this year. Abe, I agree with everything you said. And yeah, might be next year. I think it might be next year, but you're right. It might not be. Bruce Dobigan, but he will get in. Bruce Dobigan, you picked on Ricky Fowler's camo costume, and now he's a withdrawal before round two. Hope you're satisfied with yourself, Kelly. He looked like he'd escaped from an episode of Daktari.
I didn't tweet it. I just had to answer the tweet. But he is a WD. It goes back to what we were talking about with Jalen Carter, though. I mean, this is PGA Tour.
Oh,
these
all
guys
sick.
Are getting sick all over the place the past few
they're
weeks.
All sick. We'll get to more of your tweets. I want to get to Warren Sharp, though. We haven't talked to Warren in a long time, and he used to be a stalwart on this show. But then he went on to bigger and better things. You can follow him at Sharp Football on Twitter. SharpFootballAnalysis.com is where you can check out all his work. He joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Warren?
Hey, I'm doing great. Really excited about this Super Bowl and happy to talk about it with you, Gil.
Hey, man, what we know you from probably most on Twitter is formations and how you break down games and how you see things going. What do you believe, how do you believe Super Bowl 59 goes game script wise?
Well, I think the one surprising thing, a lot of people look at this Kansas City Chiefs offense and they don't see a lot of points that they've scored, and they think that this is a mediocre offense, maybe one of the down years for Andy Reid. This offense drives the football into the red zone at a 40% clip, which is the best for any Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes offense since 2018. They're getting down there a ton. It's the second highest rate in the NFL. Their issue is they're not scoring touchdowns when they get down into the red zone. But now they're going up against Vic Fangio's defense. And Vic Fangio has played Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid 8 different games. I'm sure you've heard some of these stats, but maybe what you haven't heard is the production overall of this Chiefs offense against Vic Fangio inside of the red zone. They're driving down there into the red zone at a 37% clip against Fangio and all other defenses. So it's the same rate. But when they get into the red zone against Fangio, Gil, they're scoring touchdowns only 37% of their trips, as opposed to 62% against any other defense from 2019 to 2023. And they're scoring a goal to go touchdowns on only 38% of their trips against Fangio versus 79% versus everyone else. So I think the Chiefs are going to be able to move the football, even though this Eagles defense is good, down into the red zone. But I do feel like they're going to be ultimately settling for too many field goals down inside of the red zone. So I think that's something to watch when the Chiefs have the football. When the Eagles have the football, the key question that I have is, how will we get another miracle out of Steve Spagnuolo in this run defense? The last 2 years, he's gone up against the number one best rushing offense in the NFL in the Super Bowl. 2 years ago, it was this very Eagles team. Last year, it was Christian McCaffrey and the San Francisco 49ers. Those two offenses ranked number one in running the football from an EPA success and yards per carry perspective in those years. But when they went up against Fangio in the Super Bowl, they got absolutely stifled. They were averaging in the 3.6 yard per carry range. The longest run for CMC was only 11 yards in last year's Super Bowl. So he performed miracles that you wouldn't otherwise expect. I'm just waiting to see what tricks he has up his sleeve to try to slow down Saquon Barkley in this one.
The first part of that, when the Chiefs have the ball and the Fangio bend, don't break, if you will, the red zone defense, do you find that is the part? I mean, if we broke down football in all kinds of ways, but is red zone offense and red zone defense and the conversion rate therein the thing that most handicappers miss? Can it be distilled to that kind of thing?
It is a factor. The trick is most people don't put too much weight into it because they say 80 yards of the field is more important than the final 20 yards of the field. But the issue is the way that this Vic Fangio defense plays, they are forcing you to be perfect up and down the field. They're allowing you underneath stuff, but they're not going to allow any explosives. And then they're going to choke you out like a boa constrictor down inside of the red zone and prevent you from scoring. So that's the type of defense that you have to look at very differently than most other defenses in the NFL. The Kansas City Chiefs team, this is a very unique offense that we haven't seen from Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid much in the past. Out of 192 team seasons since 2019, Gil, this team is throwing the ball short of the line of scrimmage at the second highest rate. They're unlike most of their other teams that Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes have had. And it actually is the perfect matchup against Fangio because they don't want the explosive. You know, some years past with Tyreek Hill, they'd get frustrated if they couldn't get a big play down the field and they have to dink and dunk and they would ultimately fail. This team, that's what they're built on. They're built on converting on third downs. They're built on setting themselves up for makeable third downs, converting it, possessing the ball, moving the ball down the field. This is why they're so difficult from a statistical perspective to really assess their greatness because they're not playing by everybody else's rules. They're not really trying to be efficient on early downs and have explosive plays. They just want to possess the football and they just want to march it down the field. And they've just struggled down inside of the red zone. So that is the part of this game. I think it's going to really determine who wins and loses is can Vic hold up against these guys down in the red zone.
All right. So brass tacks this for us, if you would, Warren, where are the bets?
Yeah, well, one of them, a lot of people maybe glean from how I'm angling here. And that is my favorite bet of the entire Super Bowl, Gil, is Harrison Butker over 1.5 field goals. Ooh. And this was one that I originated and a bunch of other people have sort of taken the lead on this one after me. And that's fun. That's totally fine because I think it's a great bet and they should. Right now, from what I am seeing, if this is the correct number, Circa has a minus 150 on the over 1.5. We were getting it at minus 120. Minus 150 is still the best line in market that I'm seeing. I will absolutely love Harrison Butker over 1.5 at minus 150. I would bet it considerably higher than that as well. I just think he has made 100% of his field goals. Andy Reid implicitly trusts him. He's made 100% of his field goals in the playoffs the last 2 years is what I was meaning to say. He's kicked a ton of field goals against Vic Fangio's defense. If you look back at the statistics there, and a lot of people are, you know, I know you're a Commanders fan and the Commanders went for it on every fourth down and they're playing the Lions who go for it on a ton of fourth downs. The Philadelphia Eagles go for it on a ton of fourth downs. Andy Reid, in the big moments, is going to depend upon his kicker if he needs to. They're not going to just go for it and force fourth downs that aren't plus EV. They're going to rely on Butker to make them. And consider this also, last factor here. Butker plays outdoors in Kansas City. He's been kicking rocks for months. And now he's in a warm dome finally, gets to kick the ball here. I think he makes at least two field goals. I even altered this one, Gil. I took 3+ and even 4+ field goals made by Harrison Butker. Another one that I like because of the way that I think the Philadelphia Eagles are going to play offensively. They're the type of team that runs the ball at one of the highest rates in the NFL. And as a result, they have faced the second most third down attempts of any offense in the NFL this year. I believe that's going to continue on here. A lot of people think that they're going to come out throwing the football. They only threw the football in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. After the first quarter, they tried to run it in the first quarter, didn't have success, resorted to the pass. I think they're going to come out here with Saquon Barkley, let him try to carry the team. They're going to be forced into a lot of third downs here. All the teams that are going up against the Chiefs, the Bills last week, the Texans the week before, face a lot of third downs against the team. I like Eagles over 5.5 third down conversions. That was at plus money a couple of days ago. I'm not sure where it is now. I also think the Philadelphia Eagles go for it and make at least 2 fourth downs. So there's a prop over 1.5 fourth down conversions for the Philadelphia Eagles. I just think they're going to be forced into a lot of those situations as well. One other one that I think is a fun one that you might be able to find, a team to score the longest touchdown. I think that's going to be the Philadelphia Eagles here. They've done that with consistency through most of the year. That was at minus 110 a couple of days ago. Not sure. Again, I don't know the exact price on it now. And I like Juju Smith-Schuster a little bit over his low receiving yard total.
Oh, okay. By the way, that was simpatico with Mike Pritchard yesterday, the Juju one. Warren, we got it all in. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
You got it, Gil. Enjoy the Super Bowl.
You too. Warren Sharp, everybody, at Sharp Football on the old Twitter machine. We'll come back. We'll talk about MVP by position, all of our bets. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Attention, all serious sports bettors. If you're thinking about playing in the 2025 Circa Million or Survivor contest, now's the time to get ahead of the game with Winner's Circle Proxy and VSIN. Sign up today for exclusive offers, including a drawing for a free Circa contest entry with proxy service, plus lock in special pricing on Winner's Circle Proxy service for 2025. And as a bonus, you'll get access to expert contest strategies from past winners and VSIN pros. Don't wait. Head to winnerscircleproxy.com/VSIN. That's winnerscircleproxy.com/VSIN. It's Gil Alexander. We get tweets at Beat of the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Jamie Leva. The coin toss crazies betting on a coin toss makes me think of Crackman's friend that could manipulate the outcome of a coin. That story was great. Have a great weekend, gentlemen. Oh, gosh, do you remember that one?
Yeah.
The dude that could call the coin toss in midair.
The flipper, right?
The flipper.
Was that what it was called?
And it wasn't his coin. You could use your coin. It was just amazing. Steven Brosek, 1870, says, last day to get tweets in before it's 1-2-3 Cancun for Gil. Thanks for the great football season. I can't believe it's already the Super Bowl, right? I'll be back on Monday. We'll hear Sunday. Kelly and I will be here Sunday as part of the big shebang, the VSiN big shebang all day. And then I always do Monday morning a Super Bowl recap show. And then it might be 1-2. And it might be 1-2-3 Cancun. This is D-Gen Southern Gen. Happy Super Bowl Eve, fellas. Was hoping you'd ask Fezzik something for me. I will later when he's on. Fez mentioned on your show that he usually looks to bet the first quarter total under in the Super Bowl. Is he betting it again this year, given team's familiarity? We will ask him that. Steve the Proxy. I bet enough on Lamar MVP at 11-1 to double my bankroll. Been a Bills fan for 30-plus years. Oh. Never hedged with Allen. Goff was my original bet. Lamar was the hedge. Brutal feeling when your guy wins, but your losing bet ruins the moment when betting goes wrong.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, it's tough, man. Sorry about that.
Rough, Steve. Yeah. Sorry, man. That was Matt had the same strategy, Matt Brown. Went Josh Allen instead of Lamar with kind of the hedge thinking with Goff.
Yeah. Charles in Connecticut at Hoop Homer, because I introduced Warren Sharp. I was like, he used to do a numbers game, and then he went on to Bigger and Better Things. He says, are there really bigger and better things than being a regular guest on a numbers game?
It's a great
question. Excellent point, Charles in Connecticut.
In fact, are we sure?
Are we sure? Estamos seguros que... Will Hill, by the way, commenting on the Brosek thing, he says, some say the season does go by fast. That's Will's thing. Like, even at week 4, he goes, I can't believe it's week 4 already.
I'm that guy, too.
He's that guy. Ice Cold Gambler Jason. Now that I hit Kevin O'Connell at 28-1, I'm rolling it into the Chiefs and Hopkins props, 60-1 to have 2-plus touchdowns. Let's go. By the way, that is the one thing said this week that will not leave my head. The Jason Weingarten D-Hop thing.
Yeah, I'm with you, too. I'm with you, too.
It just feels like that.
On my list that you guys always make fun of bets to make, also a sub-list of bets to consider more, and that one's on there.
Bets to consider.
I don't actually have it written that way,
let me just ask you a question, because I'm trying to define where on the spectrum you lie. Do the bets to consider elevate to bets to make before you actually make them?
Usually it's just I'm going to take the time to research it a little bit more, and then if I like it, I'll pull the trigger. So I don't know if I actually write it down on the list.
Mark Geiger, in-house attorney for A Numbers Game. Warren's Twitter feed is incredibly valuable for in-play. Great to hear him again on A Numbers Game. Was a main stalwart and can't miss his spot in the early years of VSiN. Miss those days and most of all the mishpucha from a point south of your current digs. Mike Boreal. Gilly, Willie, and Todd talking about the Megapod. Story of three gamblers, their hijinks and tribulations. Stories about a Yom Kippur massacre, bad beats, a now famous Hail Miriam, and more. The alternate title, Two Jews and a Ginger, received pushback from the ginger community. Yes, it did. The gingers were not happy. Eric Berg, I think you have to consider Plunkett. Oh, talk about the Eli Manning stuff. I think you have to consider Plunkett when thinking about Eli's Hall of Fame chances. Two Super Bowl wins doesn't guarantee you entry into the Hall of Fame. Eric, I hear what you're saying, but the nature of Eli Manning's Super Bowl wins against two huge Patriots teams, again, the biggest of which was that 2017 that went undefeated into the big game, I don't think that can be compared to maybe anything. And so Eli's two Super Bowl wins were not just any garden variety Super Bowl wins. Let's put it that way. Okay, let's get to we want to get to our bets. Did you want to do the Gatorade dissertation first?
I got a couple things first, because I did just realize, to answer your question, there is one bet that did move from the bets to consider list yesterday, and it has now made the bets to make list. Uh-huh. I brought it up to you last night. It was bets to consider after Zach Cohen bringing up the Spurs thing, and then me, you know, rolling my eyes and then being completely on board, but I'm not going as heavy as he is, so I needed to figure out exactly how I wanted to bet it. How I will be betting it sometime this weekend, Gil, is Spurs to participate participate in the play-in and then a little bit of a sprinkle on Spurs to make the playoffs. So,
okay.
Moved up that
for
list.
For those who missed it, Zach Cohen came on the show yesterday and gave out Spurs 100-1 to win the West.
Yeah, I'm not going that far. Right. I'm not going that far.
But you admit, when he first told you that, you thought he was ridiculous, and then within 45 minutes, you're like, man.
And then I watched De'Aaron Fox and Wemby on the court together, and I was like, I really think it might be as simple as this, is all this guy needs is an actual star player. And I'm not saying De'Aaron Fox is a superstar and MVP caliber player, but he's good enough to help take Wemby and this team to the next level. And yes, breaking news, sort of.
What the heck was that?
I needed a sounder. Gatorade color, Gil, on the move over the last 24 hours.
Big move on Gatorade.
Big move on Gatorade color. We are at minus 200 over at FanDuel on yellow or green to be the Gatorade color.
Somebody knows something.
So, I mean, someone knows something. I don't know if there's... It can't be just betting. DraftKings, this I think is from this morning, minus 130. They're out to minus 175 now on yellow-green. What I think it means, Gil, is someone thinks they know or someone knows what the Chiefs are doing. Because this is the go-to, obviously the go-to Eagles color that we would think. So I think you're thinking that there's a chance yellow goes for the Chiefs this year, which would break their streak of 2 years in a row going purple.
Does this have you rattled?
No, I didn't get involved. I got a lot of questions about this year. I did not get involved because we saw the Chiefs go purple the last 2 years, and the last time the Eagles won, they did go yellow. I'm not saying green because it's not green; it's yellow.
If I may interrupt, you know what the novelty props thing that has manifested? Remember with the Kendrick Lamar stuff, the first song. I'm like, well, he'd be just the artist to do something strange at the beginning, and then move on to some of the songs we picked. If the leaked set list that I have seen is true,
yeah. Well, I saw those odds move a lot. Yeah,
nobody's winning. Like, the song that I saw on the set list going first has never been offered by any of it.
Oof.
Yeah.
Good day for the book on that one, then.
So then you're wondering, did they take it down? No, of course they kept it up, because then they're just stealing everybody's money. Right. It's not even an option.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I don't know if it's true or not. I think it was rehearsal last night or is rehearsal tonight. I'm not sure. Shall we review our bets?
Yeah, let's roll through.
Did you have more to say about Gatorade?
No. I was just saying I didn't get involved this year because blue is always my big one that I go to. But I know neither one of these teams is going blue, or I think so.
I apologize for stopping your Gatorade flow.
I mean, if it gets out to like 10-1, I might be involved a little bit with blue, but I don't expect that.
All right, I am on again. National Anthem is way under the number we got it at again. So I had it under 125 seconds. Last I looked, it was 120 and a half on the National Anthem link. So we're well ahead of that for John Batista's National Anthem. The Kendrick Lamar first songs I had were Not Like Us in Swimming Pools. Just talked about that, how it might not be any song that is even listed. Which, again, was always my worry when it came to Kendrick Lamar in sort of that Coldplay sense, where they did some years ago, where they played like two bars of another song and then rolled on to everything else. I do have the Chiefs. The very first thing I did, though, was two Sundays ago, bet the Chiefs right after the championship games at minus 1.5. Will this still go, as so many have speculated, to the Eagles being favorites? We'll get Steve Fezzik's opinion on that momentarily.
So fascinating to me.
Still Chiefs favorites. And then Kareem Hunt, Chiefs first touchdown score plus 425 and the overall touchdown score at 9-1. So I have Kareem Hunt two ways, first touchdown score for the Chiefs, and then basically a little more than double that in terms of your bang for your buck as the first overall touchdown score. You, sir.
Yeah, this is the flipping favorites thing is really interesting to me, Gil, because there's major arbitrage opportunities this Super Bowl if that happens, right? Like it was plus money that you could have gotten on the Eagles on the money line. I mean, it wouldn't be a ton, but still.
They took down the National Anthem link finally.
Really?
Yep.
So that's out there then. Yep. Okay, for me, AFC to win the Super Bowl, baby. Let's go. AFC. Didn't get my hat, but let's go. Didn't buy off this future at all. It's not a huge one, but I'm not buying off on the Eagles. I still lean the Chiefs side. Did add with Patrick Mahomes to win Super Bowl MVP, though, plus 125. Thought that price was too good to pass up, especially where the money line was at the time with the Chiefs. I'm on worthy over 5.5 rushing yards. I know that's a very popular one, but we've seen the Chiefs get wide receivers involved before in past Super Bowls running the ball. We've seen Worthy be very active in the rush game here recently, so I like the over 5.5 rushing yards. Kareem Hunt, me and you, simpatico there. We're expecting big things from him, over 42.5 rushing yards from him. Also went Pacheco under on his longest rush, 8.5 yards for me. And then a couple game props for you. Both teams have scored 1+ touchdown in each half. Yes, -115. Will there be a 2-point conversion attempt? Yes, +110, Gil, and I think I'm adding to that bet.
Oh, look at you.
I think I'm adding to that.
Okay. Wow, you get feisty about it. We'll eventually get to that MVP by position thing. Maybe when Felica's, right before Felica comes on, maybe we'll do it. Eventually. Steve Fezzik on deck. Football Fridays with Fezzik. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.